All right, today is June 29th, year 2008, and it's the feast day of the Apostles Peter and Paul. It's also would have been the seventh Sunday after Pentecost, but that's not being celebrated today. That's being transferred to the first open day, ferial day during the week, which this year would be on Friday. So the seventh Sunday after Pentecost, Mass is being celebrated on Friday. Today, the feast day of Saints Peter and Paul, our first class feast day, and it takes precedence. So that's what's being celebrated today. We're going to go on quoting from the scriptures as we're doing. We started out in the book of Ecclesiasticus with chapter 1. Now we're working on chapter 2. And we're going to pick out chapters as we go along, and starting from the beginning chapters and work through them whenever it's appropriate. Now, Ecclesiasticus chapter 2, I ended off on verse 13, and we're going to pick up on verse 14. And this sermon is going to concentrate just on verse 14. That's how important this verse is. It's very powerful. I always say when reading the Holy Scriptures, you can read one verse and stop and just talk to God about an hour on that one verse alone. I mean, especially in these books of wisdom, each one verse is power-packed. This is true wisdom, not the false wisdom of the philosophers. At best, all they have is a natural wisdom, and it's full of heresy because they're really searching for God through natural reasoning only, and they're not believing in supernatural things that are above their reasonable understanding. I don't want to get into that now about philosophers, but anybody who loves God and loves the Word of God spits all over the philosopher. The philosopher is a lost guy. He's trying to find God through pride, through his own reasoning. There's no such philosophy. Should not even. It's really a false religion. Any pagan on the island can know what he knows. The main topic I want to talk about is true wisdom. And when you read the wisdom of God, you can refute anybody in the world. You don't even need to study their stuff. All you got to do is maybe briefly read it so you can refute the guy so you know what he believes in. My point being that if you have the Word of God in you and you're filled up with the Catholic faith, I don't care what anybody believes in. You can come to me and I say, explain to me what you believe in. Take your time and explain it to me and I'll let you talk. And then when you're done, I'll refute you. I never even have to know what God did I believe until he came into my house and visited with me. He could just talk to me. No matter how crazy or stupid or wacky or whatever it is, tell me what you believe in and I will refute you and show you where you're wrong and I will correct you. Because I have the Word of God. I have true wisdom in my heart. Once you have the full truth, you can correct anybody, no matter how perverse this thing is. You don't need to be studying their books and diving your nose into it and telling people it take years to become enamored with their studies and all that. Now, this is Ecclesiasticus 2:14 reads as such: woe to them that are of a double heart, into wicked lips, into hands that do evil, and to the sinner that goeth on the earth two ways. So what Jesus son of Sirach is teaching here is the hypocrite, which our Lord was constantly accusing the Pharisees of. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites. And this is probably one of the worst kind of persons that you can deal with. A hypocrite and somebody who goes two ways upon the earth is somebody who believes one thing in his heart and professes it maybe even in one particular situation. But then to accommodate other people, he changes his position and professes belief in another thing. He's constantly changing his beliefs to accommodate to the people before him, and they do that either because they're lusting after power, they want to be powerful rulers or leaders like politicians, and not all politicians are lusting after just pure power. Sometimes it's money, because with that position and with reputability comes money. And money means you can support your luxurious lifestyle. And the other reason people are hypocrites is because they want to be famous. They want to be famous and they want to be liked by people and they want to be praised by men. They're looking for the glory of men more than for the glory of God. That's generally why people become hypocrites. And who doesn't know that politicians are hypocrites? It's a common statement among everybody that once you become a politician, any belief you ever had that you professed in that doesn't go accord with the current people in the country or with the political system along with the Jews, you have to change and profess something different. That's a hypocrite. He professes one thing with his mouth but believes in another thing in his heart. And it's not just one thing. It says they go two ways. They really go more than one way. So what it means is he's always going contrary to what he really believes in. For instance, we give an example of politicians. So-called Catholic politicians like Giuliani, he's not Catholic and neither is Schwarzenegger. Neither one of them are really Catholic because they're heretics. But my point is, even according to the Vatican II Church, abortion is a mortal sin, automatically excommunicatable crime. And Giuliani comes out during his election, they ask him about abortion. And he goes, well, personally, I oppose abortion, but before I make my decisions, I consider several different things. I consider what the people believe, because I have to represent the people. I consider what the judicial system thinks in the Supreme Court, and I have to take into account the United States laws and all that, and then I consider religion. And then I come out with my opinion. So his opinion was, therefore, I allow abortion. Women have the right to get an abortion. So who won out? Giuliani says, I personally am against it. But publicly, and as a politician, he supports abortion. There's a man that goes on the earth two ways. He walketh upon the earth two ways. Either abortion is murder or it's not. If you admit it's murder, and you pass laws that say women can get abortions, you're a murderer, Giuliani. You're breaking the fifth commandment. You're breaking the law of the church. The true church bans abortion. Even the Vatican II church, he belongs to, bans abortion. That's a hypocrite. That's a man that goes upon the earth two ways, because he wants to get elected. If he ever opposed abortion full brunt, he was afraid he would not get elected, because it's now getting more and more popular, even with the conservatives, Republican politicians, to now come out and not take strong stances on abortion. They usually come out and say stuff, I leave it to the personal choice of the states, I don't want to get involved in it. They back out on taking any stance on it, or they don't want to directly oppose Roe and Wade and completely do all within their power to oppose abortion totally. There's only a few politicians that we know, and Brother Will is in charge of that department in politics. We call up the politicians and we find out what they believe in before we go to the voting to vote for the lesser of evils. And so when we do that, and Will knows from his experience from talking on the phone and from attending these political rallies and questioning these politicians, that most of them, like Heather Wilson, what did she come out and say on abortion?
No, she supported abortion. She said it was a moral decision. They have to make a decision.
She says it's a moral decision. Each person has to make their decision, so she's not going to interfere with it. So she never really told you what she believes. Now, even if she personally was against it and did that, that's a hypocrite. That's what Giuliani does. There's a few politicians that were, only a handful, that were totally against it.
Steve Pierce
was totally against abortion, I think. That's what I mean by being totally against abortion. I mean for no reason. No rape, no incest, no nothing. Abortion is diabolical, it's completely murdering that infant, and it's a sin against God. Now, the politician like Giuliani has got to be... Now, the liberal who really does supports abortion because he's a liberal, either because he doesn't believe it's murder or he doesn't care about killing babies... He's a mortal sinner, and it's an abomination what he believes in, but he's not a hypocrite. He's just professing what he also believes in. Giuliani and people like that will come out and say, I'm personally against abortion, but, however, you know, it's even like that one Novus Ordo bishop accused him of being like Pilate, who washed his hands and said, I think Jesus is innocent, I like the guy, but I'm going to kill him anyway. So, he's a typical premier politician, Giuliani. He wants to say what the people want to hear. He wants to say what he thinks is going to get him elected. And I also suspect in my heart with him, and this is the danger with people who are hypocrites, is you, the more you remain a hypocrite, and the more you go on the face of the earth two ways, the more you really begin to believe that thing in the beginning you were just saying to please people. My point being, you see this especially with the homosexual situation. Let's talk about Schwarzenegger. I know when that guy came into office that he wouldn't have said that he supports gay marriages or homosexual unions and all that. He was against it, but I saw the pressure being put on him when he was running for the governor of California. If he ever opposed the homosexual lobby in there, he's dead. He ain't going to be the governor. I seen him when Peter Jennings was interviewing him doing an about-face on what I know he personally believes in. The Catholic Church condemns homosexuality in every way. The Vatican II Church is weak on this. They're in heresy on this because they believe men could think like homos, but as long as they don't do the act, there's nothing wrong with it. No, you can't even think like a homo. That's a mortal sin, just thinking homo thoughts. And God didn't create homosexuals. That's a heresy of the Vatican II Church. But the point being, even he should have came out and said, even according to the Vatican II Church, they shouldn't support these homosexual marriages and civil unions. So all of a sudden he comes out and he supports the civil unions, and he's gung-ho for the homosexual campaign in his state now. Woe to you who go with those who are of a double heart and wicked lips and hands out to evil and sinners that goeth on the earth two ways. See how quick he changed his belief so he can become a famous politician. How long do any of us live in life? This guy's not going to live much. Nobody lives much beyond 100 years. After that, he dies and goes straight to hell for all eternity because he wanted to please people. In Schwarzenegger's case, I believe it's not lust of money. He had money from Hollywood. He wants to be famous. He's got the fame bug like Mel Gibson. They want to be famous. They want to be popular. He wants to be a powerful politician. you know, and because he's riding off of this thing, and he'll do whatever it takes. So he sold his soul to the devil. You would have questioned this guy probably a month before he decided to run for this election. He would have told you what he thought. Even now, maybe, still yet, if you privately speak to me, he might say something, but I doubt it, because when you become that high in politics to the governor level, you're very careful not even in private conversation to tell people what you believe in. And my point is that when you begin to do that, because you're a hypocrite, because you're lying and you're deceiving people, you even then begin to lie to yourself because you can't bear it in your own conscience. Nobody can escape his own conscience. They can try as they may. But the best what they try to do is go, you know, I really do believe in homosexual marriages and gay unions and homosexuality is okay. I really do believe it. He really actually then flips his belief. He flips his belief. But with politicians, they're always flipping their beliefs. For instance, if for some reason in this country everybody rolls up against homosexuality and the only way you can get elected is by condemning it, he'd say, I'm against homosexuality. It's an abomination in the eyes of God. If he was in a truly Catholic country and people were all believing that the way they're supposed to believe, he would get right up there on the podium and say, it's an abomination in the eyes of God. And he, because he wants to get elected, even if he may not believe it's an abomination, you see? That's why a lot of times in Catholic countries, you don't even really know what people believe in all the time. They could be just going along with what the Catholic Church wants. But the Catholic Church says, fine, I don't care, as long as you go along with what we're teaching. If you don't believe it in your heart, and you, as long, that's your problem, because you're committing a mortal sin with God and you go to hell on Judgment Day. But you better conform to what publicly to what we're teaching, or we'll follow. We'll catch you if you try to break from that. But my whole point is, politicians are hypocrites. They go two ways upon the earth. They're constantly changing their positions to please people. Barack Obama, just recently, before he met with the Jews, he was talking out against Israel to a degree. He's a half Zionist, you know, and he was talking out against their oppression of the Palestinians. And he was saying that they're acting like tyrants in, towards the Palestinians. And all of a sudden, the Jews jumped all over his case. And then now that he's approaching the presidency, he had to meet with AIPAC to bow down before the golden calf of the Jewish state of Israel. And you must bow down before that golden calf and kiss its feet, or you don't get elected. Who was there? Barack Obama, apologizing for a statement about the Palestinians and talking about how much he loved Israel. In spite of the fact that not too long ago, his pastor was Reverend Wright, and he was friends with Farrakhan. Yeah. These two guys are more honest than Obama. And that's one thing Reverend Wright did say precisely. Well, Obama's a politician. He's going to do what he does. I'm a pastor. I do what I does. They're at least convicted about what they're false things, and they're not telling you something different than what they believe in. There's nothing worse than a hypocrite. That guy's the worst of all. So here's a guy that was in their camp not too long ago, starts running for big-time politics, and all of a sudden he flips. How does a guy flip that quick? He doesn't flip in his heart, really. He's doing it because he wants to get elected. But the danger is that if he gets elected, pretty soon in his heart, he will love Israel. He will not look at their tyrannical crimes against the Palestinians. And pretty soon they're going to be good. Palestinians are going to be bad. Even in his heart. But he'll bury it so deep, his hypocrisy. But you follow politicians. We're going to get into that in a minute with the Vatican tours, how they walk two ways upon the face of the earth. They also were hypocrites. God hates a hypocrite. You look at the commentary in this verse, and it relates you over to 3 Kings 18:21, which states, that's when Elias was confronting the false prophets of Baal, and the Jews all apostatized and were worshiping Baal. But at times, they'd also say, I believe in the God of Israel. And Elias was saying, how could you profess belief in both? The God of Israel says, I am the one true God. I am the only God. All other gods and religions are false. That's what the one... But you go over and say, I'm going to worship Baal also because he's true. Well, then you can't have it both ways. That's called syncretism. The mixing of the profane with the sacred. The mixing... Now, even if it was... Let's say you even got two people that are in two different false religions, like Buddhists and Hindus. And the Hindu comes up and says, you know... Or let's say Hindus and Muslims. Let's take that example. You can even have you're having that type of hypocrisy too. Everybody's saying all religions are okay and everybody worships the true God. Well, the Muslim knows that the Buddhist does not worship the true God, or the Hindu, and he thinks he does, and we know he doesn't do it neither. Okay? And they'll even go out and sometimes smash the idols of the Hindus. But let's say you get a Muslim and a Hindu coming together and saying, you know, why don't we both mix our worship? I'll worship your false God, the Muslim false God, and then the Muslim says, I'll even worship your false gods and the Hindus. That's even illogical. That's illogical. That's like saying somebody says 2 plus 2 is 4, another guy says 2 plus 2 is 5, and they both come out and say that's acceptable to both of us. It's true. Both of those statements are true. That's hypocrisy. Now we're talking in this case about religious hypocrisy. Elijah's facing down all these Jews that were, they call legend or best. I remember one Jew when he died, this apostate Jew, he said something about where he said a prayer to St. Peter, and he said a prayer to Allah, and he said a prayer to Buddha, and he says I was hedging my bets. Because just in case, you know, whichever one might, you already lost it. The true God doesn't have, there's, you cannot mix the false with the true. There's only one God, therefore there can only be one true religion, and there can only be one true church, which during the New Covenant era is the true Catholic Church, and the Catholic faith, and the Catholic God. Everything else is false. You cannot mix it. That would be like Elias saying to all his people there that are respecting these false religions, like the Assisi affair. When the apostate anti-pope John Paul II brought all the religions in the world, and they all prayed together, so we all worship the same God, we can all be saved, we're all men of religion, and we're all good men. Promoting false and respect. Anytime you respect a false religion, it's an abomination in the eyes of the true God. That's the sinner, the religious person that walks upon earth two ways. That he professes belief in the Catholic God, but he says the Hindu God's okay, the Buddhist gods are okay, multiple gods. The Talmudic Jewish God is okay. The Muslim God is okay. The Indian pagan gods are okay, and we're all fine, and we respect all one another's religions. That is just simply illogical. A 7-year-old kid who just attains the use of reason can pick that out right like that and say, that's stupid, man. That's hypocrisy. You can't have it both ways. All right? Now, Elias was up against the same thing in his days when he thought he was the only living prophet, the only faithful Jew left. But there were 5,000 other Jews scattered out around the world hiding in the mountains. Hiding away from these apostate Jews that apostatized during the days of Elias. Read about this in 3 Kings 18:21. And Elias, coming to all the people, said, how long do you halt between two sides? If the Lord be God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him. And the people did not answer him a word. End quote. He's saying, if you're going to worship Baal, then do me a favor. Go worship Baal, but don't profess belief in the God of Israel, the true God. If you profess belief in the true God, then you profess belief in him and reject Baal. Do me a favor, Elias is saying. Cut this hypocrisy. Cut the double talk. We're not all the same. We don't all worship the true God. The Farrakhans and the rights, heretical as right is and infidel as Farrakhan is, at least they don't lie. I know what the guy believes in Farrakhan. He comes out, he's a Muslim. He's an infidel. But he doesn't lie about what he believes in. Obama, we don't know what this guy believes in. One day, you think he's a Muslim with Farrakhan, then he converts so-called to Christianity, even though it's a heretical form of Christianity, to Reverend Wright. And then because Reverend Wright speaks out against the Jews in the United States of America, Obama distanced himself from him because he wants to be what? A politician. He wants to get elected to office. He's a pleaser of people more than what he believes to be even the truth. There's a guy that's a hypocrite. There's a guy that goes on, walks upon the earth in two ways. And when it means two ways, it means diverse ways. It's not just two ways. These guys... What do you want to hear? You know, everybody knows people like that, like in their life, that if they're talking to one group of people, they tell them what they want to hear. Then they go over here and talk to this group of people, and they tell them what they want to hear. And it's completely opposite about what they tell that other group of people. People know this. People of goodwill know this, and they despise it. I'm just trying to tell you politicians. The only thing you're making friends with is a bunch of other hypocrites, because most Americans are hypocrites and liars and deceivers like you are. That's why they accept people like you. That's how corrupt America is. But not everybody in America is that bad. There's some people of goodwill in America that I don't know who they are. God knows who they are. And my sermons are directed towards them. Stop listening to these bastard politician liars. Stop listening to the United States who's been lying because they're backed up by the Jews and the Masons. And they're doing their bidding. How many times are you going to catch somebody lying to you and continue to re-elect them and put your faith and trust in these bums? And you have to realize that your whole constitution and your whole organization in the United States was evil from the beginning because it rebelled against the true God and his Catholic Church and all constituted hierarchic authority. So I'm trying to tell these people, even on the natural plane, you can pick out these hypocrisies. One last hypocrisy, and then we're going to go into some of these Vatican II hypocrisies with these religious leaders. We'll get into that now because we're working on that line. So you notice Elias is now telling these people. That will be like Elias speaking to Father Brian Harrison and his gang of criminals, his gang of punks, his gang of apostates, his gang of people that walk upon the earth two ways and has a double heart, like a double-tongued serpent. Like a two-faced Janus. That's Harrison. I use him because he's a conservative apologetic for the whole Vatican II Church. And he says, either the Catholic God is the true God, or the Muslim God is the true God. or the Talmudic God is the true God, or the Catholic God is the true God. You can't have it both ways. They don't believe in, they're not the same God. The Catholic God is the Blessed Holy Trinity, who created the Catholic Church, who made Peter the head of the church, which we're celebrating today, the Pope. Protestants don't even worship the true God. They worship a false Jesus and a false God, because their church does not profess the beliefs what the true God believes in. They don't present to the world the true God. The Protestants present a God who isn't present in the Holy Eucharist, body, blood, divinity. The Protestants present a God that doesn't believe in the papacy, that Jesus told Peter, I'm going to give you the keys. The Protestants don't believe in a God that gave his priest the power to forgive sins and offer the holy sacrifice in the mass. I could go on and on. And I could tell you, like Elias told the people back then, take sides. Father Harrison, if you think the Muslims worship the true God, then become a Muslim, you bastard. You're one anyway. See, that's what God sees. You can't go two-way. You think you can get away with it in the eyes of God? You can't. These are people that our Lord rebuked in Mark 2:22, and he says you cannot put new wine into old bottles, otherwise the wine will burst the bottles and you're going to lose the wine and the bottles. He's trying to put the old covenant into the new covenant. He also says the Talmudic God, the Jews of today, who say they are practicing Judaism. It's not true Judaism. It's Talmudic Judaism. It's false. It was created to accommodate the denial of Jesus Christ. When Christ died, he instituted the new covenant, and he replaced Judaism with Catholicism. Judaism is no longer in effect. Anybody who says it is presenting a false Judaism. He comes out and tells us that the Jews are worshiping the true God. That they're worshiping the true God, even though they deny Jesus Christ and the Holy Trinity. Take sides, Father Harrison. Why don't you go into the synagogue and grow your curly cues like the Jews do and put the black hat on and become a Jew. Become a Talmudic Jew. Because then at least you're more honest about your false belief. But in the eyes of God, him saying that, he is a Talmudic Jew. He is a Muslim. You can't have it both ways. Now, we're going to get into this about Father. We're going to stay on Father Harrison here, and I'm going to bring up those questions I asked him. And then we're going to bring up Will Norris's correspondence with him. And I want to let you people know, and I say it many times, these are not complicated questions that I asked Father Harrison. And you've got to ask yourself when I read these, and I'm going to read them to you, why he didn't answer them. And you tell me if it doesn't apply to him in Ecclesiasticus 2.14. Woe to them that are of a double heart and to wicked lips, and to hands that do even, and to sinner that goeth on the earth two ways. And I will tell you why he doesn't answer these questions. He doesn't want to lose his position in the Pontifical University in Puerto Rico, Catholic University. He's a professor over there, and he doesn't want to lose his position. He doesn't want to lose the little fame that he has. Makes him feel important. And this guy's actually responsible for teaching seminary students and filling them with his poison. And he's the conservative guy. Now, here's the nine questions I asked this bum. And I still, down till today, June 29th, year 2008, have not got an answer from these questions. And I asked them originally on January 7th, year 2004. It might have been even sooner. But I think that's it. The first question was, is the old covenant still in force, or did it end when Christ died on the cross? Is it apostasy and heresy to teach that the old covenant is still in force, that it did not end? That's question one. Is the old covenant still in effect? That's like 2 plus 2 equals 4 to a math person, you know, even to a little kid. You understand? That's not complicated. Number two, are two religious covenants with God in force under the new covenant era? Question number three. During the New Covenant era, are Jews who do not believe in Christ and His New Covenant under a religious covenant with God? Is it apostasy and heresy to say they are? Question four. Is Talmudic Judaism a religion created to accommodate the denial of Jesus Christ as God and Messiah, a true religion? Yes or no? Not a real tough one. No. Is it apostasy and heresy to teach either explicitly or by implication that it is a true religion? No answer to that one. That's like going up, they say, to a calculus guy. He's a brain genius, rocket scientist. How much is 2 plus 2? And he says, I can't answer that. Really? I'm trying to tell you folks about people that walk upon the earth two ways, and all you people that follow people like him. Question number five. Is the Catholic religion the one and only true religion, and thus all other religions are false? Yes or no? No answer to that one. Seven. Are Christ-denying Jews elder brothers to Catholics? Is it apostasy and heresy to teach they are? Note, the clear reference is to spiritual brothers who share the same faith and not to racial brothers. Quote, not they that are the children of the flesh are the children of God, but they that are the children of the promise are accounted for the seed, Romans 9:8. And, quote, know ye therefore that they who are of the faith, the same are the children of Abraham, the Catholic faith. For you are all children of God by faith in Christ Jesus, the Catholic Christ, Galatians 3, 7:26. I threw these verses in his face and said, come on, you tell me that these Jews are children of God and our brothers after what I just read to you. No answer to that question either. Now, I'm going to finish these last two questions in a minute, but I want to pave the road for us a little bit. You've got to realize when I debated this guy, he was asking me even stupid questions. And I was answering some of the most important ones. And he'd come back and say, well, you forgot. Let's say somebody asks you like something like 20 questions. You answer 18. And you leave two of them out because they're just really stupid. You think, come on. Well, he can. Well, you know, Richard, you didn't answer all my questions, you know. So I went back and I even answered those other questions that he said I didn't answer. And I answered them. I went the extra 110 yards, as we say, when you play football. You know, the coaches always tell you, when you're playing football, the goal line is 100, but you play for like it's 110, you see? I went to 110 with this dummy to expose him. Read my refutation of him against Father Brian Harrison. And if you take his side after that, believe me, folks, I don't want him. If you come before me, God forbid, I may cut your head off within 1 month if you don't repent, or maybe instantly. I don't want you before me. Unless you repent, I'll pray for you and sacrifice for you, but I have no use for you. It's really, is anybody in the math world going to have any use for a guy who says he's a calculus professor, but he can't stand up and take a stand as to whether 2 plus 2 is 4 or whether it's 5? And he keeps wavering on the issue? What would they do to a guy like that in the secular field of math? They'd pillory him. But when it comes to these religious issues, these guys are the biggest hypocrites of all. Now, mind you, I just told you, I answered every one of his questions. Now we're going to get on to the last two questions. And since these, I got no answer. Question 8. Are Jews who do not believe in Jesus Christ under a double curse? The one that all men are under because they're born in original sin, and the other for deicide, the murder of Christ, the inherited blood guilt of their Christ-denying ancestors that their Christ-denying ancestors called down upon them. As mentioned in Matthew 27:25. And the whole people answering said, his blood be upon us and upon our children. In Galatians 3:10, when St. Paul says, for as many as are of the works of the law are under a curse, end quote. And what Paul's saying there too, he's saying, you can't even get your original sins or any of your sins remitted if you still pretend you're under the old law. Christ came and ended that and instituted the new law with sacraments that bestow sanctifying grace and send you to heaven. Got no answer to that. Question number 9. Is a man cursed who is under the wrath of God? So my whole point on this was, if I can get him to admit that, well, you know, obviously, if somebody's under the wrath of God, they must be under a curse from God because he's not happy with them. They've done something wrong. Because then I would have... I never got that. I write about these things, but you never hear from these people. They bury their head in the sand and ignore you and run from you. I would have quoted in John 3:36, he that believeth in the Son of God hath life everlasting. But he that believeth not the Son of God shall not see life. But the wrath of God abideth upon him. Shall not see life. He's in damnation. That's as clear as daylight, folks. The Jews that don't believe in Jesus and the Holy Trinity are under the wrath of God in a state of damnation. On that point alone, besides the blood curse. So I'm trying to get him to admit the fact that the Jews are under the guilt of original sin, that they're under the guilt of other mortal sins, the guilt of worshiping a false God, the guilt because they don't believe in the true God, and the guilt of the blood guilt. Now, all this being said and done, I ask this genius these questions and I get no answers. Because he knows, and he's the first one to come to the defense of the apostate Jews when I exposed the phony Holocaust being a hoax. He got all bent out of shape and started defending Schindler's List and these dummy Jews and their so-called Holocaust. In spite of the fact, after I showed him all the things that these Jews believe about Jesus Christ and his Catholic Church, all the blasphemies that are being leveled against the true God, all these sacrilegious blasphemers, these infidels that are coming out and saying Jesus was just a man, he married Mary Magdalene, and a million other blasphemies that they've been preaching from the minute they denied Christ, and he's defending these Jews. Our Lord says here too, with something like, that's like Mark 7:6-7. He says, these people honor me with their lips, and their hearts are far from me. In vain do they worship me, teaching the doctrines and precepts of men. He professes himself to be a Catholic, but everything he says outside is not Catholic at all. He professes himself to be Catholic no matter what, but he will sometimes profess a Catholic dogma one day, then the next day he denies those dogmas. He goes two ways upon the earth. St. Paul condemns him in Titus 1:16. He says they profess that they know God, but in their works they deny him, being abominable and credulous, and to every good work reprobate. So here this guy is, because he wants to keep his job. He wants to please the Jews who are in power. He's afraid of the persecution that's coming down upon him if he really speaks out. And then the whole world crashes down on him. He finds himself all alone, so he thinks. But that's really a blessing, as I told him and warned him. No. And after it came to this point where he looked at this thing and said, if I answer Rich's question, I'm dead. But what does it mean dead? Physically dead? We're all going to die in the flesh. Our Lord says, he who will save his life shall lose it. And he shall lose his life for the Son of Man's sake shall save it. For what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and suffer the loss of his soul? Mark 8:35 or 36. Both right in that area. So what are we talking about with this guy? Woe to the sinner that goes on the earth two ways. Now to follow this up, I'm not going to get to the salvation dogma question. That'll be later. Those are some 9 knockout punches, right? Now somebody's going to come in and tell me, Richard, I'm Catholic and I care about the Catholic faith and I think Father Harrison is okay. You're not Catholic. You're not close to Catholic. If you don't stand up against blasphemies and heresies and apostasies, you're not Catholic. If you support this guy and continue to give this guy any credence and don't condemn him from the rooftops, just recently he spoke at the St. Benedict Center about a year ago up in New Hampshire, who professes belief in the dogma. Where is their heart? Do they love the Catholic God? They're enamored by their own opinions, by their own religious order. They think that they're all with their own puny success because they don't want to lose the few followers that they got. They built up Brother Francis now as their current idol who sits up there on the pedestal, that ex-Mason. And he'll admit to you, he was a Freemason at one time. I really question if that guy really isn't still a Freemason. I don't know how you can go on believing what those people believe in. I know how people can follow them because they're comfortable up there in their positions. They don't want persecution. They don't know what persecution is, so they really come out with the whole truth. But then that's what's really going to set them free. Now, we're going to get this. That was on January 7th, year 2004. Haven't heard from him since. That's when he broke off communication with me. Oh, the debate suddenly ends because the guy's going to lose his position, right? How quick he is to defend the apostate Jews and how slow he is. And I say not even slow, he doesn't even defend Christ. He doesn't. He doesn't defend the Catholic Christ. And the Catholic, he doesn't. These guys all also have to be under suspicion of infiltration. Although a useful idiot can do this, a guy that just loves his own behind. Loves his life in this world and doesn't want to lose it. Well anyway, Will Norris was inspired by the Holy Ghost. I didn't even ask him to do this. Got a mind to go over there and write Father Harrison a quick note. So Will Norris finally contacts him. And my lead into this little section is one of Mary's little remnant, William George Norris, a Catholic who abjured from the great apostasy, contacted Father Brian Harrison by email. Below is a record of the very brief and informative correspondence. Will Norris to Father Harrison, 12/13/04. Father Harrison, my name is William G. Norris, and I am a Catholic evangelist. I have a simple question that I know that you can easily answer. Is the old covenant still in effect? I hope I will get a swift response to this question. William G. Norris, to Jesus through Mary. Father Harrison, to Will Norris, 12/14, year 2004. Dear Mr. Norris, the question is not so simple. And he put simple, quote unquote simple. It all depends on what you mean by the old covenant. Sincerely, Father Brian Harrison, OS. Not so simple. That's like somebody coming up and saying to the math professors, 2 plus 2, 4, well, or is it 5? Well, that's not so simple. You know, the cat's a dog, the dog's a cat, if you really want to do, you know? So Will snaps back at him on 12/15, year 2004. Father, what do you mean? What I mean by the old covenant? Father, don't you believe that we're living under the new covenant era established by Christ when he did away with the animal sacrifices and the old Mosaic laws and supplanted them with the one holy Catholic and apostolic church? The old covenant says that the Jews are God's chosen people. Do you believe this, that this still applies today to the Jews? Now he's getting another question in. So you're saying, what do you mean? What do I mean by that? I mean, by the old covenant, I mean the old covenant. Is there any other old covenant? Open up your ears and watch him out with that wax in there. He don't got no wax in there. He knows what you're saying. He's got wax in his heart. His heart is darkened over because of his false respect to the Jews. That was like that SSB 10 priest when I showed him JP 2 saying the old covenant is still in effect. And he tells me it doesn't mean the old covenant. It means the Ten Commandments. These guys are really looking at cats and seeing dogs and looking at dogs and seeing cats. Black is white, white is black. Don't play games with me. In the street corner, we pop your eye, we punch you out so quick when you talk like that where I grew up. Bad as those kids were, and I keep saying it again, folks, these guys are the biggest gangsters in the world. He's pretending he doesn't know what the old covenant is, and he's a pontifical university genius. So Father Harrison writes back to Will Norris on 12-15-04, "Dear Mr. Norris, since you clearly think you already have all the answers on this matter, you are clearly not asking me for information to help you in a difficulty. Rather, it seems you are acting as a self-appointed inquisitor, testing out my orthodoxy. I am afraid I don't feel inclined to participate. If I am not mistaken, you are a disciple of Mr. Richard Ibrani, correct? Sincerely wishing you ever a blessing at Christmas, Father." Harrison O.S., first of all, he's blessing you. If he can't bless you, according to him, we should be. They bless everybody. Everybody. You want a blessing? God blesses everybody. He doesn't. He only blesses Catholics. Yeah, correctamundo. Will is an inquisitor. Every Catholic is an inquisitor. Every Catholic man, woman, children with the use of reason, by the mere fact of their obligation to profess the Catholic faith and to perform the spiritual acts of mercy of admonishing sinners and instructing the ignorant. Every Catholic is bound by their obligation of being Catholic to go out there and be inquisitors. And to rebuke and denounce people when they're holding heresies. So correct them on that. These guys say they don't believe in that. They believe in the heresy of non-judgmentalism. Nobody has the right to go out and accuse anybody. Well, he caught the drift of where you were coming from, but he knew who you were when you first wrote to him. But he's thinking, hey, Will Norris might be defecting from the Ibrani camp, and I can help him. But then when he caught the drift of it, you trapped him. Hey, I'm not going to go no further on this. Now, how hard would it have been this guy to answer your really one question? What do you mean, Father? I mean the old covenant. Is it ended? The Mosaic laws, you know, the animal sacrifices, was it replaced by the new covenant in the Catholic Church? You notice in all this you got no answer? But he's accusing your authority and your right to be an inquisitor and you're hanging out with Ibrani and all that. Let's get back to the point, knucklehead. And don't tell me I don't got no right to ask you a question. What kind of a teacher is this anyway? If you're really a good Catholic priest, if you are a good Catholic priest, even if somebody comes up and blasphemes and really says something very bad, your duty would be to correct him and just show him the truth. Correct? These guys are gangsters. He's not interested in the truth. Now you tell me after all these questions, here's my comment. Yes, Will Norris is an inquisitor, just as all good Catholics are. I at least got some kind of answer from Father Harrison regarding the Old Covenant. An answer that is more proof that he is an apostate. Father Harrison either believes the Old Covenant is still in force, or is partially in force, or does not know for certain what the Old Covenant was or is. Either way, he is an apostate because he does not believe Jesus Christ completely ended the Old Covenant and replaced it with the New Covenant. He makes Jesus a liar. Father Harrison is just as evil as the stiff-necked, blind, obstinate Jews who denied Christ during his first coming. He sleeps in the same bed with them and commits spiritual fornication with them. And I ended again with Ecclesiasticus 2:14. Woe to them that are of a double heart, and to wicked lips, and to hands that do evil, and to the sinner that goeth on the earth two ways. End quote. A little kid of 7 years old with the use of reason and goodwill could know that this is utterly and totally and completely false and hypocritical that this man is. Take off the collar. Don't call yourself a Catholic. Do me a favor. I don't care what you want to call yourself. You can call yourself a Buddhist or a Hindu or a Muslim or a Talmudic Jew or a doorknob worshiper or a pagan Indian. I don't care. But don't call yourself a Catholic because you are not a Catholic. And I say like Elias said, it's time to take side, folks, and get away from these bums. Because God's wrath is going to come down upon them. And I say it a million times, that's why I'm out in this desert. I got no more to say with these people. If they're in front of me, there's only one thing that needs to be done. Heads are flying. And they'd be fortunate if I give them 1 to 2 weeks to repent. And I would probably give them that. And his head's flying anyway. Just as a punishment to show people what happens when you act like this bum. You cannot understand the souls he's leading astray. The Catholic God is the true God, and he's given the true God a bad name. And instead of trying to help people be saved, he's keeping them on the road to damnation like the apostate antipopes of the Vatican II Church and all these Vatican II apostates. So take sides, folks. This is no game. And we're not playing games here. Goodwill people are going to listen to what I say, and goodwill people are people that love the truth above all things and have the humility to admit when they're wrong. And those people will end up with us in the end, and who have a sense of justice and what is right. You can't go in there and just go try to tell a 7-year-old kid that a white wall is black and he sees it's white. He's going to think you're crazy. That's what these people are doing. That's why the kids go crazy and they'll go out in the world and lose all guidance. They have no one to turn to. But if they're of goodwill, God will get them to hear us before they die if they're of goodwill. Stop lying about these stupid things about how we can all believe in the same God and we believe totally different things. All right, end of sermon. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. This recording was produced by Mary's Little Remnant, 302 East Joffrey Street, Truth or Consequences, New Mexico, 87901-2878, and can be accessed on my website at www.johnthebaptist.us.